they won't let me on the worship team. They're just not receiving it. Just not having it. It's not. But I've got a word today for you. So I pray your heart is open, and I pray you're ready to receive. For some, it'll be a word of encouragement. For some, it'll be a word of correction. But I just pray that it touches your heart. Amen. I've been greeting some Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky that are off investing in the region, shaking things up, doing what they have to do, which is good. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for the pastoral team for letting me speak this morning. How many know we've got a great pastoral team? You know, they're not only great, but they're good looking. Got the look. You know, I do take a lot of notes, and they always buzz at me saying, am I giving out handouts or this and that? I like to be detailed when I go into the Word of God. I like to know what's what and what I'm going to talk about, and I like to put it all down on paper. Now, technically, I'm a guest speaker. We got two guest speakers today. Well, I won't get an envelope, though. Don't give me an envelope. Maybe someday, you never know. So today we're going to look at Joshua. We're still in Joshua. Who's enjoying Joshua? Are we enjoying the book of Joshua? I know I am. I'm getting a lot from it. Last week we spoke about Kadesh Barnea. Who remembers Kadesh Barnea from last week? It was a place where you come to in your Christianity. It's a place where the people of Israel came to, and it was a decision-making place. They had to make a decision of what they were going to do, where they were going to go. And then we heard about Rahab and the spies and so on. So today we're gonna look at Joshua, and we're going to go into Joshua chapter 3 from 1 to 5. Now, just to give you an idea of where we're at. Amanda, can you put it up there? Not that one, the other one. Okay. This is where the people of Israel are at. Kadesh Barnea was somewhere down here. Okay? And the people of Israel made their way all the way around here. And here's where they are now. Okay, so we're going to pick it up right here. I'll bring a laser, I'm prepared. I've thought of everything. I've covered this morning. Okay, so you know that I've come prepared when a man brings a laser to church. But what we're going to do, we might have a little bit of fun with this laser today. Because I might point it at you like that and say, I've got a sentence for you. And it's like, I follow Jesus because... So when I point this laser at you, you stand up in the middle of service and you say, I follow Jesus because... And then you add your little spin. Everyone's like, oh no, I hope you don't point the laser at me. My goodness. Oh, you never know. I might use it. So this is a very significant time for Israel yet again. It's another time of crossing. And this is about a new generation. As we seen last week, that God took the older generation and he took them out. It was in Psalm 78 that God took them out. He took all the main leaders at that time, he took them out. So it was a new generation that Joshua was leading across the promised land. Okay, we're going to look today at the Ark of the Covenant. We're going to look at the significance of the Ark and how it's important to us today and how it was important for them. But most of all, we're going to look at footprints. We're going to look at what it means to follow a set of footprints. So let's read from the Word. Turn with me to the book of Moses. There is no book of Moses. Turn with me to the book of Joshua. Some people flicking through. Where's Moses? Goodness. Joshua chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 to 5. Before we do that, can I just say something? It's prayer starts at 8:30. Okay? It's not a time to talk. It's not a time. This ministry deals with souls that have been ravaged through drug addiction and all sorts of stuff. It's not time to talk. It's time to pray. When we come to church, we pray. Today is a day of salvation. We're going to have Barry Woodward come. Salvation's going to come. It's not time to talk. It's time to pray. Amen. So let me just get that out of the way. So Joshua was up early on his way from Shittim with all the people of Israel with him. He arrived at the Jordan and camped before crossing over. After 3 days, leaders went through the camp and God gave out orders to the people. When you see the covenant chest of God, your God, carried by the Levitical priests, start moving. Everyone say, start moving. Follow it. Make sure you keep a proper distance between you and it, about 1/2 mile. Be sure now to keep your distance and you will see clearly the route to take, for you've never been on this road before. Then Joshua addressed the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God will work wonders among you. Help me, Jesus. It was Joshua's time to do the crossing. Moses had already done his, and Moses had led the people from slavery right up until the edge of the promise. Joshua was now to follow in his leader's footprints. The Bible says that Joshua rose early. This signifies one thing for me, that he was a man of prayer. How else was he going to lead this generation of men, women, and children into the promised land if he wasn't a man of prayer? See, he understood that it was God who was going to do it. But the important thing to note is that he was following the footprint of Moses. When we look at the ministry of Moses, we see a man who believed in prayer. He had authority over God's enemies, and he also had authority over God's people. When he prayed, my goodness, plagues used to come. Seas parted. So how did he get this? He spent time in prayer. See, people hear about prayer. People read about prayer. And people study about prayer. But you know what they forget to do? They forget to pray. What a church needs today is not more events. It's not more organizations. It's not more novel methods or strategies, but men who are filled with the Holy Ghost, men who are filled with an attitude of prayer, men who have their boots on. We heard Anita last week, men, get your boots on. Listen to what God is saying today, okay? This is not me. I've prayed all week, I've studied all week, and I believe this is what God wants to say today. We spend too much time wasted on different stuff. When I come into the home, they said pray, and I pray. I didn't know how to pray, so I listened to others how they prayed, and I cut on. It was like blah 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 God, and you always get them people in the home. What do you have to shout for? God's not deaf. God's not deaf. I've been looking at this guy from Korea, Pastor Cho. Who's heard of Pastor Cho? My goodness. I've been reading about this guy for the past week, and I can honestly say that having read about this guy, my attitude to prayer has just been changed, has just been revived. And this guy, yeah, he pastors one of the biggest churches in the world. It's like 750,000 to 1 million people. He has 30,000 connect groups. This guy spends 2 to 3 hours in prayer before he goes to a pulpit. So I tried that this morning. I woke up at 4:00. Serious, I did. Because I'm not joking around. When it comes to the word of God, I'm giving it to the people. I want to know that it's correct, it's from God, and it's for you. Okay? So we're reading about this guy, and he prays, and the Europeans and the Americans ask him, how do you get the growth in your church? How do you get it? And he tells them, I pray. And he also says to them, you spend too much time fellowshipping and eating that you can't get up in the morning to pray. See, that's deep. That's deep. We're never going to accomplish the will of God in our lives without first being committed to prayer. More prayer, more power. More prayer,
more power.
More prayer,
more power.
Amen. So Joshua understood this. Joshua knew the will of God in strategy, and he knew it in battle. When Moses was in the mountain, Joshua was at the foot of the mountain praying. When Moses departed, when Moses died, he knew that he had built someone that was able to pray. He knew he built someone that was able to pray. I wonder today, are we doing that? Are we building our kids for prayer? Are we building our pickers up? Personally, what I see is that we're building idols for our kids. We stick them in front of an iPad or a whatever the case may be, you see, because that keeps them quiet, doesn't it? It keeps them so you can get on with your business. Be careful. Joshua had a new generation of people. This crossing of the Jordan would be for Israel an extreme act of faith. It was one thing to follow God's word into the Red Sea. For their enemies, facing the armies of Pharaoh was the only alternative for not doing so. But here, they would cross into a hostile country to face fortified cities with no immediate hope of retreat on their part. There would be armies with chariots and fighting unto the death. And here a whole nation took the step of their lives to commit to the Lord. It was a tough generation that followed Joshua. They were accustomed to hardship. They were lean, they were hardened. They were a determined group of people. They were disciplined, but they were still untrained. They were still untrained. And we see how God is able to use the untrained people of this world today. He's able to use them to go and preach the gospel. We see in Acts 4:13. Now when they say the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, that they marveled. They realized that they had been with Jesus. And we see time and time again, we see people come through our homes. We see people rise up. We see people grab a hold of what God has for them. And we see them turn around. We see people that have been busted, disgusted, and couldn't be trusted. But God is able to pick that life up, turn it round, set a feet on solid ground, and able to just let them go. And sometimes when we're on that journey with God, we camp out for a bit. We get to a certain place and we stop. I know that place. I've been in that place. I know what it's like to camp out. But one thing, I've passed through that place. I've passed through it. And I've got a message for those who have stopped. It's time to start moving forward again. It's time to cross over. I can remember coming to the church a few years ago, and I'll be sitting right back there in Sinner's Row, afraid to commit to different things. But then Brother Mark put me on security, and I started to do the little things, and I started to walk my way up the rows in church. I started to become more confident. I started to become more available. I started to do different things. Now I've gone from the back row to the front row. And that's not me being proud. That's me answering the call. That's me understanding that as a man, as a priest in my own home, I've got to be sitting on the front row. I've got to get to the front row. I've got to get to leadership, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take leaders. I had to learn to follow. I had to learn to follow. The Bible says that the leaders went through the camp. The leaders went through the camp and said to follow the ark. It wasn't Joshua. Joshua didn't go through the camp. It was the leaders that went through. So the important thing here is leaders. And the second thing that's important is the ark. Now, thank God that we have a pastor He was a real, genuine leader. He's a leader of this time, of this generation. And I thank God that this church is now ascending church. It's now, I don't know whether people have caught that over the last while, but it's transformed to ascending church. So people are going to come, they're going to get trained, they're going to get developed, and they're going to get sent. But in both, we're going to see footprints. We're going to see leaders responding to Joshua, and then we're going to see Joshua responding to God. See, as our leaders are holding up the ark, well, then we follow them. Isn't that correct? Our leaders, if they're following the ark of the covenant, it's your responsibility to follow that leader. Mac Millen, in his book, None of These Diseases, tells the story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read the question on the application form, "Are you a leader?" Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no. So she returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college. It said, "Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveal that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. So we're accepting you because we feel it's imperative that we have at least one follower." This is the first step to becoming a leader. You got to learn to follow. Don't take a position of leadership in the church unless you're prepared to be honest, to be pure, to be loving in your lifestyle. See, leadership is a privilege, and with the privilege comes responsibility. God holds teachers of his truth doubly responsible, because those who will lead are in a position where we can either draw people away from God or we can draw people to God. Follow the footprints. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. That's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. 2 Timothy 3:14 says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you have learned it." The Bible says the ark is going to go, and the people were to follow. The Ark of the Covenant was mentioned 185 times in the Bible. When something is mentioned 185 times, it's important. It's important. The Ark represents fellowship with God. It represents the price that people will have to pay. God came down, built the Ark. People will bring their offerings. They would bring their sacrifices, because it was Jesus that would end up having to pay the price with his blood. There were three different types of arks mentioned in the Bible. There was Noah's Ark, there was the Ark of Moses, and there was the Ark of the Covenant. And they were all built with a certain type of material. There's another word for it called tebah. Tebah could mean a boat. It could mean something pitch coated. It could mean a certain type of material. But what it meant was, it was a life preserver. It preserved life. A lifesaver. The purpose of each vessel, the purpose of each ark, was to preserve life. Noah's Ark was built with gopher wood, and as it was built, it was sealed. It was sealed in the inside. Okay, and it was built according to God's design. Check this. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:4, "For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God." So when we start to get the concept that God is the builder of everything, and we look at the ark and how it was sealed on the inside, we begin to see the importance of the ark. Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:1, "For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." See, when God builds something, it has eternal principles. It has eternal lessons that we can learn from today. Noah's Ark was built to preserve life. We agree on that. It was only through obedience. Check this. It was only through obedience that the preservation of life came. It was through obedience that Noah and his family were saved. Noah became the priest of his own home. When you decide to become the priest of your own home, and you decide to preserve the life that's inside your home, your family gets saved. Your loved ones get saved. But first, you got to understand the concept of it's being sealed, what's been sealed inside. See, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside, because what is sealed on the inside was what mattered. It was sealed with faith, obedience, and trust. See, some of us are going through this right now. Some of us are going through a storm on the outside right now. Paul was in prison. The storm was around Paul, but Paul knew. Paul understood. He knew. He had something preserved inside. So it didn't matter where he was, what condition he was in, what the surrounding was. Paul had the preservation inside. He understood. He had it sealed. If you believe that God is the architect, then you got to trust the blueprint. You have to trust the blueprint. The Ark of Moses, the basket was protected and it was also sealed. It was protected from crocodiles and reptiles and my goodness knows what else was in that river. See, sometimes it doesn't matter what you're going through, but it matters what you're traveling in. The baby Moses wasn't safe because of his condition. He was just a baby. But he was safe because of his position. He was safe because of his position in the ark. The ark was solid. It was sealed. There was no crocodile coming in. There was no reptile coming in. It was sealed and it was preserved. So we're not safe because of our morality or our strength or even our testimony. We're safe because what we're traveling in. We heard Anton this morning, do we love our church? Yeah, we love our church. The church is our ark. This is our ark of the covenant. But we have to trust it. We have to trust the church. And we have to trust the season that it's in. We have to trust the transition that it's in, where it's going, what the purpose is, what the mission is, because the souls are going to come generations down the line, but we got to trust. This the Ark of the Covenant. Here's the thing with the Ark of the Covenant. It was built with acacia wood. It was durable. It was resistant. It was resistant to parasites and things like that, and it flourished in rough conditions, arid conditions. This ark was also sealed. The Bible says that the people were to sanctify themselves to follow this ark. They had to be clean. They had to wash their garments and their bodies as abstaining from any unclean act. Some of us have to clean ourselves up. We have to clean ourselves up. I'm going to be sensitive on this issue. But pornography is a massive issue amongst men. It's massive, and it's like an unspoken thing. It's like people don't mention it, and that's why we see that's why we see leaders don't raise up, because they're in bondage to pornography and different things like that, sexual sin. It's important. We look at women the wrong way. When you're in that, you look at women the wrong way and your eyes become deluded. When God said to Adam in the garden, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. Now hear me now. When God said to Adam in the garden, okay, I'm going to give you work. That was the first thing that God gave him, was work. Okay, so I looked into that. And it means calling. It means something to do with your calling. So when men try to get into a relationship with women, they haven't even found the calling. They haven't even found the calling. So they're jumping over here. And that's why we see so many failed relationships and so forth. And so you got to find your calling before you find the relationship. You got to be in your calling. And then your helper comes along. Then the helper comes along. When you get them back to front, you're in trouble. Okay? If I ask for a helper, if I want to lift that speaker, I'm not going to go and get one of the kids from Children's Chapel to come and help me lift the speaker. Okay? I'm going to get someone of equal strength, of equal ability, and I'm going to get them to come and help me. That's the principle. That's the principle. Okay? Sometimes we look at women as the weaker sex. No, no. Woe to you. Does the sister say amen? Woo! Hear me now. When I go into ministry, I know that Danielle is right beside me. She's of equal strength in prayer. She's of equal strength in worship. She's of equal strength in studying the Word of God, of raising our kids, of discipling women. Equal strength. Okay? That's the helper. Okay? Men get it back to front. They think, oh, I'm the head of the house. I'm the head. No. You're the foundation. You're the foundation. Women are like an incubator. An incubator, you put something in an incubator, it nurtures it. It helps it grow, and it gives life. When you give woman sperm, she gives you a baby. When you give woman shopping, she'll give you a meal. She'll give you a meal. When you give woman a house, she'll give you a home. When you give woman hell, frustration, my goodness, you're in trouble. See, sometimes when we're following God, we're all clean, we're sanctified, and we're following in the footsteps, okay? Because we got footsteps, we follow our leaders, we follow... But people veer off the track. Okay? They veer off the track because they take their eyes off the Ark of the Covenant. You see, time to time, people resist the way that has been planned for them. And like I said, people jump from A to C. More worrying about this, people become unsubmitted. They become unsubmitted because the church doesn't meet your requirements. Well, the church doesn't do this, so I'm going to go here and I'm going to go there and I'm going to go find what it is that I want. And they become unsubmitted to the leadership of the church. They make their own set of footprints. They do. And people start to follow that. Okay. Now, what did the Bible say? Follow the ark of the covenant. Keep a distance so that you know which way it's going. But as people veer off the track, some people become influential in their Christianity and they veer off the mission and they begin to take people with them. And this is important. It always happens, especially in church. Then you have this group of people over here that have just veered off a little bit, become unsubmitted to the vision, unsubmitted to the leader, unsubmitted to the ark because they want to do what they want to do. 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says, "For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear." Joshua had to prepare the people to cross. Joshua was a no-nonsense leader. No-nonsense. And I believe that's what we need today. We need more no-nonsense leaders that are just willing to lead. Not. It doesn't matter if you upset people. Yeah? I heard coming up, Sister Mitzi was going on about Zechariah. Zechariah wasn't scared. He didn't care if he upset people. He wasn't interested in that. No nonsense leadership. See, the Bible says that people have never been on this road before. We've never been here before. We've never been in a season of double services. We've never been in a season where we've had a regional pastor. We've never been in a season where we're now ascending church. We've never been in these seasons before. But we're here. We're here. Who's going to take these seats when all these are gone? Who's going to take them? Who's going to rise up and take that seat? It's no joke, men. It's no joke, women. These seats have to be filled so people can go. They've got to be filled so people can go. It should be your goal to get to the front seat. To get to the front seat. Sinners Row, don't do it for me no more. I'm in a different place. You're watching someone. And people have seen me sitting in Sinners Row over the years. You're watching someone who's been trained before your very eyes. Who's walking with God before your very eyes. I'm going to mess up. I'm not the best preacher. I'm not the best teacher. It doesn't matter. But I'm still going to go for God. I'm still going to attain to sit on the front row wherever that I go. Because I want to be influential, not only in my church, but in my community, in the school, wherever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You gotta go for that leadership. Amen? You gotta go for that. As the worship team come, we've got Barry Woodward come. Okay? Souls are gonna come. New people are gonna come. Do people even care about that? Do people even care that these people are gonna come? Because if we did care, we wouldn't be talking at the back when it's time to pray. We wouldn't be doing that. We'd be saying, okay, I've got people. I guarantee you right now, there's someone out there, there's someone in a community in Manchester that's had a flyer for Barry Woodward. Salvation is on the line, but they want to commit suicide. And the saints don't pray. Because when the saints don't pray, the result is that person does go through with that. When God delivers us, we always think what we get out of it. But God also thinks like that. God also thinks, well, what did I get out of it? Did I get a leader? Did I get someone who was willing to pay the price? It wasn't your will that you were saved. It was His will. His will. A lot of times we spend too much time practicing our Christianity. We practice being a good Christian. That's okay. That's okay. But you gotta get the presence of God in here. Because your Christianity is worthless without the power and presence of God. Amen. Footprints. Follow the footprint. Follow the vision. Follow the ark. Footprints are there. All we got to do is follow. Those that are stopped, it's time to move forward. Those that are unclean, it's time to clean up. Amen. Let's stand.